This morning, you're invited to open your Bibles to the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 57. Again, this is Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 57. A reading from Luke 1, chapter 57. Hear now these words. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day they came to circumcise a child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him." Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably upon his people and has redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he has spoken through the mouth of the holy prophets of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hands of those who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and he has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before him all our days. And you, child, shall be called a prophet of the Most High, for you shall go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace." My friends, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, there's more I'll talk to you about Zechariah and Joseph. And for time's sake, I read the scripture about Zechariah first, and then a little later I'll turn to Matthew's gospel, talk about Joseph. For the fact is, when you read Matthew's gospel, it's told more from the point of view of Joseph, and when you read Luke's gospel, it's told more from the point of view of Mary. And so this is a recap very quickly. You may recall that it starts off with Elizabeth and Zechariah in Jerusalem, an older couple, and they will have children. And then one day, Zechariah wins the priestly lottery, goes inside to get the burnt offering, and he gets surprised the angel is next to him and tells him, "Zechariah, your prayer has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will give birth to a son. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb on, and his name shall be John, and he shall prepare the way for the people. He will be like Elijah." Zechariah asked, "Well, how can that be? You know, I'm getting old. My wife's old too." And the angel got upset with him and said, "My name is Gabriel. I send the presence of the Lord, and I was sent to give you this message. But since you did not believe, you will not be able to speak until my words have been fulfilled." And when Zechariah goes home, soon afterwards, his wife Elizabeth becomes pregnant. And she rejoices and hides out and says, "The Lord's taking away my shame." 6 months later, down in the little town Nazareth, Mary receives a visit from Gabriel. And she responds, "So be it, as the Lord says it be." And the angel had told Mary, "No, your cousin Elizabeth, who was called barren, is now 6 months pregnant. For nothing shall be impossible with the Lord." And so Mary decides to pay cousin Elizabeth a visit. And as soon as Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary's voice, the unborn John the Baptist leapt with joy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so now we pick up with that. John, the little baby, is born. And it talks about all her neighbors and relatives heard the Lord has shown her this great mercy, and they rejoice with her. You know, at Christmas time, there's a movie I like to watch called It's a Wonderful Life. And remember that scene at the end of the movie? We got Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed, and, you know, his name in the movie is Mr. Bailey. That's a good name to have, by the way. You know, and all the relatives come in, and they're rejoicing with Mr. George Bailey. And that's how it was. Elizabeth's like, right, here come all the neighbors and relatives, and they're just so excited. Like, oh, my goodness, you had a baby. Praise the Lord. You know, just, who would have thought? And so, Mary is a Jewish family. So, on the eighth day, time to circumcise the baby. And the neighbors said, well, we're going to name him Zachariah. And Elizabeth said, no, his name shall be called John. And they said to her, none of your relatives has this name. And as I've shared before, that reminds me sort of with me and my family tree history. My father is Sterling Thomas Womack. And as I mentioned before, I have several uncles before him. And so when they got to my dad, I guess they ran out of names, so they did the politically correct thing. They went back, and they said, okay, well, we got Thomas Michael Womack and Sterling Fremont Parkinson, the grandfathers. So we'll put those together, Sterling Thomas Womack. There we go. We're going to check off both of the grandfathers, both sides of the family tree. So that is back on, he was born December 25th. A lot of famous folks born that day, 1944. So fast forward to the 1980s, 1981, to the Reagan years, and I come along. And my mother wanted to name me Thomas. And my dad said no. And the reason he said no, he said there was too many Tom Womacks in McKinney as there are. I see Marvin shaking his head, right? There have been some Toms who even married into the Womack family as well, right? So dad said, no, there are too many Tom Womacks in McMinn County. Said, don't name him. We're not going to name him Thomas. So mom had to go back to the drawing board. So the closest thing she came to a Thomas was a Timothy, right? And I like that better because, you know, Tom, you think about like down in Thomas and the Gospel of John. Timothy, you know, one who honors God, right? I feel like I got a better name. I got two books of the Bible named after me, right? First, Second Timothy. And then, no, last year, my sister was blessed unexpectedly, kind of like Elizabeth, when at church, a couple approached her and said, would you be interested in adopting another baby? Their daughter was a doctor, and she had become pregnant and was not married and was not ready for motherhood. And they all agreed that it would be best to get the baby for adoption. They were looking for a godly family, and there's my sister and my brother-in-law there, and little Josiah. He was adopted back in 2020 when he was born. And so they're okay. And so they told them, you can name the child anything you want to. And so they agreed on Noah for the first name. But then my sister and my brother-in-law were having a debate whether to name him Michael or Thomas for the middle name, okay? And I tried to help out. I said, well, by the way, you know, you have a great-grandfather named Thomas Michael Womack. You know, let's use both of them, you know, if you want to, you know. And then my sister, for a tiebreaker, asked Josiah, no big brother, Josiah, you think we should go with Thomas or Michael? And Josiah said Thomas. And my brother-in-law said, that's not fair. The only reason he picked Thomas is he's a fan of a certain Thomas the Train, right? So that's why he voted for that. So that's how we got Thomas, Noah Thomas Ely, okay? You know, names are important, aren't they? And I sure hope, you know, if you're a parent, grandparent, you know, you put some thought into what you want to name your kids. Now, and I tell young parents that do not give them some crazy spelling name that's going to get misspelled in your book. Give them a nice name that everybody can spell correctly, okay? You know, don't get creative, but put some thought into it. So they go to Lisbon, they say, we'll name this kid Zachariah. She goes, well, no, his name's be John. I'm like, what name your relatives are named John. Where does that come from? And so they go to Zachariah and say, Zachariah, we're going to name your kid. And I thought, this reminds me what these kids and teenagers pull off, right? Hey, Mom, can I go to that party Friday night? No, you got to stay home and do your homework. You failed algebra in 9 weeks. Hey, Dad, can I go to that party Friday night? For sure, honey. That's fine with me. And then you hope, right, that Dad and Mom don't get together and talk and compare notes, right? because then you're in trouble. Because if dad finds out, you asked mom first and she said no, and you went around, you know, you're in trouble. Well, that's what the neighbors did. They just like, wow, Zachariah, you know. And I'm sure Elizabeth thinking, well, I don't know what you're asking him for. I'm the one who had the baby, right? And so Zachariah goes, you know, let's raise there. So they give him a notepad, pen. His name is John. And all of them were amazed. And then immediately his mouth opened and his tongue was freed. And he began speaking and praising God. And everybody's in shock. And you see verses 68 through 79 is Zechariah talking. You know, and I remember a year or two ago, I was so happy when we were at the movie theater and we watched the movie The Star and we were leaving. And I got one of the greatest compliments I ever heard. And that was when Miss Cadence said, I get that movie now. I always thought there was a nice old man and old woman there visiting Mary and Joseph. But when she said, I can't get him to shut up now, I realized that was Zechariah and Elizabeth, okay? It was a reference to the fact that Zechariah couldn't talk for 9 months, and now he's talking all the time. So listen to this. It says, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. It talks about, blessed be the Lord God, look down on the people. He has raised up a my Savior from the house of his servant David. And again, we spent all summer looking at David and how important he was. He's talking about he was saved us from our enemies, from those who hate us. He has shown mercy. He remembered his covenant that he swore to our ancestor Abraham. Now again, remember, I feel like I've been saying it for 2 or 3 weeks now, but it's worth repeating. Abraham, you'll be the father of many nations. I will bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, and through you all nations will be blessed. Well, how does that happen? It happens through the birth of his son, Jesus Christ, and through his atoning death, burial, and resurrection. Why? That we may be rescued from our enemies, that we may serve God without fear and holiness and righteousness. And then I love this part because I feel like in this, he's got the baby in his arms. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give knowledge and salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. Very important theme there. Little John, your job is to prepare the way of the Lord. Why? By giving them knowledge of salvation to his people. How? By the forgiveness of their sins. That was Jesus' mission to come to earth, to offer salvation to the forgiveness of our sins. And it says, by the tender mercy of our God, tender mercy. There's a movie I read a lot by Robert Duvall called Tender Mercies. And it comes for a line where he's talking to a lady and the lady says, you know, we thank the Lord for his tender mercies. That's where that comes from. The dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Isn't it interesting how at Christmas time we celebrate with lights? And don't you love driving down through the downtown Etowah, Inwood, or Sweetwater, or Athens, or Lenore City, and you see all the lights in the cities? And then you go through the country roads, and you see all these lights lit up. And then this morning came to church, and it was cold and dark, and then we turned some lights on, turned the star on, we turned on the Christmas tree, we lit some candles, and it came so much brighter and warmer. That's what Jesus did. He was a light coming into a dark world. And so here you have all this rejoicing and excitement, and everybody's happy. And there's only one problem, though. Poor Mary has to go back to Nazareth and have a little talk with Joseph. And so from there, I'm going to pick up in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Okay, well, actually, let me back up. I'm going to read verse 16. This is the genealogy. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. And verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, before they lived together, she was found to be child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to public shame, planned to dismiss her quietly. So here you got Joseph, His fiance goes off to Jerusalem. Okay, let's do the math here, right? She shows up when Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. Sounds like she leaves after John the Baptist is born. 3 months, right? So she comes back to Nazareth 3 months pregnant. And she's explaining to Joseph, you know, what happened. And so Joseph happens to be thinking, no, she's gone off to Jerusalem and had some fling with somebody. And what do I do? Now, nowadays, people go on Facebook, social media, and make a big deal about it, wouldn't it? But Joseph said, no, we're just going to do this quietly and just let it go, and it's not going to never happen. But just when he resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, I read about how Joseph's father's name was Jacob. All right, think about the book of Genesis. Remember, he had a guy named Jacob with 12 sons, right? And one son was Joseph. Remember the coat of many colors? And Joseph would have dreams and visions and interpret dreams. Okay? Here we have in the New Testament a guy named Jacob with a son named Joseph, and now Joseph's having a dream. Joseph, son of David, about King David, his ancestor. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. You will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. Okay, Mary, Jesus is the same as Joshua, means God saves. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. Jesus came into this world as a rescue mission to save us from our sins. And it goes on to say, all this took place fulfilled what was spoken to the Lord through the prophet. And this be Isaiah. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relationship with her until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus. And so here we have Joseph, and Joseph doesn't say anything, does he? We had all those verses about Zechariah speaking, but none from Joseph. But Joseph is a man of action. When he thought his fiancée had cheated on him and got pregnant, he thought about it and thought, you know, I'm just going to dismiss her quietly. I don't want to add to her shame. Just let her go quietly. And then when he learned in the dream that his fiancée was indeed pregnant with the child of God, what did he do? He woke up and took Mary to be his wife. In doing so, he became the world's most famous stepfather. He would be the gentleman who would take care of Mary on the way to Bethlehem, and then at the midnight hour, leave Bethlehem and go to Egypt when King Herod the Great was trying to kill the baby Jesus. And then he would be that father figure to Jesus through the years. You know, as Jesus learned how to walk and talk and teach, learn his ABCs and learn the carpentry skills. That was Joseph. Okay. Now, what about you this morning? And this is probably more directed to the men than it is to the ladies. But what's your job? For Zechariah, his job was to say the child's name to be John, and rejoice and give God the praise and be a witness to all the people in that room. For Joseph, his job was to take Mary as his wife, look after her and after the baby. You know, the baby was not his, did not have his DNA, and be the provider of the family. And you see where Joseph was always taking care of her, whether it was in Bethlehem or on the way to Egypt. And I'm sure as the years went by, he took care of baby Jesus and the brothers and sisters and did whatever it took to put bread on the table. So this morning, as we get closer to Bethlehem, now let's always remember the example of Joseph and Zechariah, to be a godly man and to take care of our loved ones. Thanks be to God. Amen.